This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We've all heard of the different struggles of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. By the way, every time you hear his name صلى الله عليه وسلم, we've heard of the various struggles that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم has been through. We've heard about how he was born and he lost his parents at a very young age. We know how he lost his wife, his supporter, his pillar, his crutch, Khadija, may Allah be pleased with her, at a very short pace. We know he lost his support in his uncle. And time after time, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would go through struggle after struggle, difficulty after difficulty. And oftentimes when we go through hardships, when we go through calamities, when something strikes you in your life that is displeasing to you, a person may ask, why do we struggle in this life? Why do we have to go through hardships? And there are many different reasons. And it's important for us as Muslims, anytime we go through any type of difficulty, any type of pain, to remember not just these reasons, but that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching over you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is planning for you better than you plan for yourself. And He's more merciful to you than you can imagine. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah famously said, if the believers could see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was planning for them behind the scenes, how He was taking care of them, managing their affairs behind the scenes, then your heart would melt out of love for Him. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always there for you. Protect the rights of Allah in your life and Allah will always protect you, whether you realize it or not. As for the reasons we struggle, I'm going to list 8 different reasons that we struggle. And some of these will be in related categories. The first of which is oftentimes we go through hardship and our life goes through a detour in order for us to be purified of our sins due to our shortcomings. And the same way you find gold in nature mixed with sediments and impurities, gold has to go through a rigorous, severe heating process. Once it comes out, it's purified from all of the sediments and impurities and it becomes one of the most valuable commodities in the world. Likewise, when you go through hardship and you're patient for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is using that opportunity and your patience as a purification from your sins. The second reason we struggle and go through hardships is to guide us back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we've forgotten about Him, when we've gone astray. It is a reminder out of mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring you back to Him. The third is oftentimes people will become arrogant or prideful in their lives. So someone succeeds at work or school or with their career and they think, I've earned this. And this pride builds up and accumulates. And to humble this arrogant person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of mercy, will put something in their life so that they'll go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number 4, in the beginning of Surah Al-Ankabut, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Alif Lam Mim, أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Do people expect to say, I believe in Allah, and not be tested for their faith? And oftentimes the hardship that comes to you is merely a test to see whether you are grateful to Allah or not. And this life is all a test. And so when the test comes to you, whether it is pleasing and easy, such as wealth, or it is difficult, such as poverty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing you to increase you. Number 5, we go through hardships because this life is imperfect. When a difficulty comes your way, remember that if you're looking for any kind of perfection, you're looking for a perfect spouse, perfect children, perfect parents, you're looking for a perfect job, a perfect car and a perfect house, even perfect health, you're not going to find any of these things in this world. What you're looking for is paradise. And so remember, when something comes to you, a hardship comes your way, remember that the purpose of this world is a stepping stone to the perfection of paradise. This life is not meant to be perfect for relaxation. Number 6 is oftentimes we go through hardships because of our sins as a form of minor punishment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا أَصَابَكُم مِّن مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَيَعْفُوا عَنْ كَثِيرٍ. Whatever afflicts you of hardship is from what your hands have earned. وَيَعْفُوا عَنْ كَثِيرٍ. And Allah has concealed most of the rest of it. So what you're seeing is a fraction of your result. And oftentimes we look at the state of the ummah and we have to realize that there's a strong correlation between how far we are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the state of our well-being, the state of our brothers and sisters around the world. Number seven, we go through hardship in order for us to become stronger believers. And you will not have any type of growth or progression if you don't go through any type of pain. And so anybody who works out in the gym, they hear the phrase often, no pain, no gain. I mean, if you don't go through any type of pain, you're not going to grow. You're not going to have that newfound strength. So when you go through a difficulty and you're patient, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is increasing you in your strength as a believer. And finally, number eight, we go through difficulties and hardships and they strike us at random times, decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will oftentimes close a door for you or cause you to go through something so that you can find a better door, so that you can find something better. And oftentimes people will say they've been through a certain business or they've been through a marriage or they've been through this and that. And they pray istikhara. And what happens afterwards when it fails is they'll be tested, whether they realize or not that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them this experience for a reason. And that had they not gone through this experience, they would not achieve that which is better. So when something is taken away from you, remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is planning something better for you. So this is in regards to why we struggle. Some people will say, my heart is hardened. I don't feel like I can have this strength to overcome my difficulties. And anytime a hardship comes their way, they break down, or they question, or they stop praying, or they start losing their faith. And so when they talk about the softening of the heart, a person might say, I'm not capable of changing. I'm not capable of having this newfound faith, increased iman. I'm not capable of overcoming these hardships. And this is a test in and of itself. So somebody once said, this is like a few weeks ago, he said, brother, you can't expect me to change. This is how I am. You can't change an apple into an orange. Like, why are you comparing yourself to a fruit? When you think about a human being and their personalities and how abstract you are, the refutation for this concept of I'm born this way, which is throughout society now, born this way, the scholars over 1,000 years ago already responded to this. So one of these scholars famously said, some humans claim they cannot change. He said, look at the animals. You can take a bear and you can tame it. You can take a bird and you can train it. You can take a dog and train it to become a guide dog or a guard dog or a supporter or a friend. If you can train an animal and animals can change, then a human being with their great intellect and their status above the rest of the creation is also able to change. And this is merely an excuse that people have. The second thing you have to realize if you want to change is you have to be willing to take the medicine. Anytime somebody says, I want to do this, but they're starting with the excuses immediately. If you want to become better, you want to become stronger, you want to increase in your faith, you can always take that next step forward. But you have to be willing to put in the effort, because you're not going to wake up one day and suddenly have an increased amount of faith. Something has to change with your actual actions. And number three, if you're trying to increase and improve, and you're trying to overcome your hardships, and you're trying to reconnect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remember that you cannot please everyone around you. In our day and age, with the advent of technology and smartphones and social media, people are living double lives. And the problem is that people, every time they post things, many people will think twice. Will people be pleased with this status? Will people like this status? Nobody likes it. In 5 minutes, status deleted. And what happens is they start posting only to please people. And if they post or say something that people are displeased with, they'll get rid of it. And the problem with this is that you're living your life for other people. You're living a mask. So remove the mask, live for the sake of Allah. If you want to move forward, then you have to be willing to be sincere in who you are. Don't live for other people. You have this one life, don't waste it on other people. And no matter what you do, and people here have experienced this in different ways, no matter what you've done, somebody will always criticize you. And if nobody's criticizing you, then something's wrong with what you're doing. One example of this, How many of you heard of the fictional character Juha? Okay, so Juha is a fictional character used in Arabic literature as a form of humor to teach a lesson. So Juha was riding out one day with his son. Juha's riding this donkey and his son is walking the donkey. And they pass by a group of people and these people start talking, gossip. And Juha hears them. They said, look at this father. He's letting his son walk in the desert and he's riding the donkey. So Juha hears this criticism. What does he want to do? He wants to please people. So he stops. He gets off the donkey. He tells his son, you ride the donkey instead. They pass by a second group of people and these people are talking. Look at this horrible son. His father is walking and he's riding the donkey. What kind of son does that? And they start gossiping. And Juha hears this. He wants to please these people. So what does he say? He says, let's both ride the donkey. Maybe people will stop talking about us. They're both riding the donkey. And what happens? They pass by a third group of people and these people are like, look at these horrible human beings. They're both riding this poor animal, this weak animal. And they're talking, and Juha's upset. Why are people still displeased with me? So he stops after a while, and they both get off the donkey. He says, let's both walk. They walk by a group of people, and these people are like, look at these fools. They have a donkey, and neither one of them is riding. People will always talk and criticize. So what does Juha say? He tells his son, let's carry the donkey. They carry the donkey. They pass by a group of people, and they just look at him and laugh. Like, are you guys seriously carrying a donkey in the middle of a desert? And the problem is when you live your life to only please other people, you're limiting your potential. You're limiting who you really are. You're limiting all the goals and objectives that will actually benefit you in this life and in the next life. And you're masking and limiting the potential you have to reconnect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't live your life for other people. However, always be open to criticism in regards to constructive advice. Always be open to growing. Always be willing to accept something in regards to your shortcomings. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu said, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on a person who shows me my flaws. Because you should always want to grow. Now, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, every time you hear his name, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, despite everything he went through, despite even the example that you just heard of Ta'if, despite his family members being killed, despite his beloved friends and companions being killed, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was more and more grateful to Allah. And so when you talk about gratitude as a form of overcoming difficulty, you look at your life and the lives of the people around you. You'll notice everyone reacts to difficulty in a different way. One person will go through hardship. What do? They start basically indulging in self-pity. Why did this happen to me? Why is my life like this? They become negative. And everything is about them. And their whole life just collapsed in that moment. And they take things in the worst way possible. And they don't realize that this is a type of ingratitude. Because you look around you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you this opportunity to be patient, to praise Him more, to realize what you're missing. So that when you do have times of ease, you're grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Gratitude softens the heart. Gratitude brings about more blessings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ibrahim verse 7, وَإِذْ تَأَذَّنَ رَبُّكُمْ لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. Your Lord proclaimed that if you are to express gratitude to me, if you are to thank me, I will increase you. It's a guarantee. One of the most powerful quotes about gratitude that I've heard. Imagine you wake up tomorrow with only the blessings that you thanked Allah for today. Would you feel like you thanked Allah enough today? Would you feel like you asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless you in what you had? Would you remember to say alhamdulillah for everything? Everything, regardless of how you feel. Praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all that you have. And the more you thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more He'll increase you. And the more you thank Allah in times of difficulty and times of ease, the more you'll see that Allah is taking care of you. Gratitude is one of the keys to overcoming difficulties. And when we talk about overcoming difficulties and the topic of tawakkul, trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we always have to remember, وَمَن يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. Whoever puts their trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will suffice you. How? In every way possible. Allah will take care of you. Put your trust in Allah. And part of tawakkul that many people miss out on, extremely important to note, trusting Allah is one part. Relying upon Allah to come for you is one part. But number three, Whatever happens, you have to be content with it. You have to be content with the outcome. You prayed istikhara, you did your part, you're being a good believer. You did something, you went forth with it, you had a plan, and it failed. Be content with the outcome. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is planning something better for you. But that moment is a moment of test, a moment of trial. And when something comes your way, the first thing you should ask yourself, before you hear anybody use profanity, before anything else, ask yourself, how good do you think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because your reaction is a reflection of how you think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How do you assume of Him? Allah will come to you in the way you assume of Him, the way you think of Him. If you think Allah will help you and take care of you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help you and take care of you. And so one of the examples I want to give you is a personal story. In March, I was traveling in Ireland for a college student camp. And on the way out of this camp, we were traveling via bus. We were going south 4 hours from Northern Ireland to Southern Ireland. And on the way, we're on the bus, everyone's saying the adhkar, we finish, we're sitting down, everyone's socializing. And out of nowhere, the back of the bus just explodes like in a really loud boom, just flies up into the air. And the bus screeches to a stop, and we basically get out and we stay for like 2-3 hours. The bus driver, he's like, this has never happened to us. He's been driving for 20 years. He's like, you know, there's two tires in the back of the bus. Two tires on the left, two tires on the right. So there's four tires, and two in the front on the left, and two in the front on the right. So it's rare for both tires to explode like this. Something must have caused it. So as they're fixing the tires and they bring a company to repair the bus, we're looking at the road where the tire exploded, and there's nothing there. There's nothing at all that resembled anything that could have caused damage to the bus. It just exploded. And so this tire exploding caused some people to be like shaken. You know, if you're ever in a near-death experience or accident, you're shaking. So everybody, there's like 60 people. There were 30 brothers and 30 sisters. They were kind of moved. So we get back on the bus after 2 hours, 2.5 hours. And the first thing that we do is I give a small reminder, like everything happens for a reason, right? And when we said the adhkar this time, everyone's like super focused. Like everyone wants to say the adhkar with khushu', mashallah. So I gave this reminder and I literally said the following words. I said, perhaps this happened because it was protecting us from something better. Is that clear? Perhaps this happened, this small difficulty, let's say, because it was protecting us or preventing us from something that is worse. Something could have happened. So I sit down and everyone's talking. We drive about 15 minutes and we stop at a huge detour. And there are like 20 ambulances and fire trucks and police, and they were carrying people in body bags. There was a pile up of vehicles. And they were carrying people out. We took a detour and we were all kind of moved, like, when did this happen? So we go to a gas station close by and we talk to them, and they said this happened about 2 hours ago. The same time we were driving in that direction. And Allah knows best. It could have been that that moment where the bus tire exploded, that small moment of discomfort happened so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would protect us from a fatal accident. Always when something happens to you, always say Alhamdulillah. You don't know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is protecting you from. وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. You might really hate something. You might despise it. You might say, there's no way this is good for me. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, and it's good for you. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Allah knows and you know not. Always put your trust in Allah. What ayah, what verse do we recite every day that reaffirms our trust in Allah in every salah? What verse? إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. Verily, it is you that we worship and it is you that we depend on. Every time you recite, especially Surah Al-Fatiha, don't fly through the surah. Focus on what you're saying. This is a dua and it's the most powerful dua. You're saying, oh Allah, it is you that we worship and it is you that we rely upon. This ayah is the heart of Surah Al-Fatiha, and Surah Al-Fatiha is the heart of the Quran. This verse encompasses our entire life. Pause when you recite it and think about what you're saying. Any difficulty you have is small. It's nothing compared to what Allah is planning for you of goodness, of khair in this world. Now the topic of tawakkul is a long topic, and most people will wonder where to start. So to summarize the topic of tawakkul, putting our trust in Allah through difficulties, we can mention four easy steps. Very simple, very straightforward. Number one, is don't be lazy. When you have tawakkul, you cannot be lazy. وَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ وَلَا تَعْجَزْ. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, as was reported in Sunan Abi Dawood, put your trust in Allah and do not become lazy. What does this mean? Some people will think, I'm going to have this exam tomorrow and I'm not going to study. I'm going to put my trust in Allah. I'm going to make dua all night. And this person is so sure of their concept of tawakkul. They come the next day and they look at the exam, they're like, I don't understand anything. The exam's not going to take itself for you. When you go to work, you expect to work and have some kind of pay for your work, for your effort. One guy comes to the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he leaves a camel untied. If you know anything about camels, they love to run away, right? So he leaves a camel, he doesn't tie it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, why don't you tie your camel? He says, I put my trust in Allah. He says, tie your camel and then put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In another hadith reported by Imam al-Tirmidhi rahimahullah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, if you were to put your trust in Allah as you should, then Allah would take care of you the same way He takes care of the bird. It leaves its nest early in the morning searching for food, and it comes back with a full belly at the time of dusk. What does this mean? The bird is not sitting there panicking, right? The bird is not questioning its existence. It's qadr. This is an animal. The bird is not going around begging other birds. The bird is not sitting there in the nest waiting for the worms to come up. The bird, which is just an animal, is going out with its trust in its creator that He will provide for it. And you are much greater than that. As human beings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the intellect and the intuition and the natural disposition to turn to Him in times of difficulty. Put your trust in Allah and never become lazy. In other words, do your best and Allah will take care of the rest. Number two, never allow pride to enter into your heart because of what you've achieved. Some people, unfortunately, they'll achieve something great. And when they do, they'll say, this is because of my hard work. This is because of my knowledge. This is because of my job. This is because of this and that. And they'll attribute it to their own selves, forgetting that had Allah not willed, you would not have what you have today. Had Allah not willed, it does not matter what you've done in your life, you could have been prevented from it. Because there are many people who put in more hard work than you, and they're more reliant upon Allah, but they don't have what you have. They are tested in different ways. So never allow pride to enter into your heart. Number three, go for the fruit of tawakkul. When someone says go for the fruit of something, it means the best part of it, right? I said this before and someone raised his hands. I asked, what is the fruit of tawakkul? He said, apples. I said, no, that's not what I'm asking. I'm not asking for a fruit. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you the concept of tawakkul, the scholars and the sahaba and the tabi'een, they embody this. So one example, Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali rahimahullah, he said, go for the fruit of tawakkul. The fruit of tawakkul is to put your trust in Allah with everything and then to be content with the outcome. So you put in your trust in Allah, you did your part. Let's say you invested in a good business idea. You researched the market. You have $1 million investments. You did everything on your part. And you made dua and you're a good believer. And then your business fails. Or your marriage fails. Or something else fails. Be content with the outcome. This is part of tawakkul. Know that Allah is closing this door to open something better for you. Always remember that Allah is planning good for you. And assume good of Allah and Allah will come to you in that regards. And number four, always take Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as al-wakil, the one who disposes your affairs. Now, think of this example. Some people have financial difficulties. If a billionaire comes to you and he says, for the rest of your life, I will dispose of your affairs with finances. You never have to worry about work again. Now you have a lot of free time, right? You never have to worry about any type of money again. Anything at all for you, your family, your million relatives who just popped up and started existing. Everyone that you know, that you want to support, I'll pay for it. How would you feel? You would never worry about working again. You wouldn't have any stress or anxiety when it comes to finances. Because someone is telling you they will dispose of this regards. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you take Him as al-wakil, when you say every night before you sleep in the dua, that is a sunnah to make before you sleep, وَفَوَّطُ أَمْرِي إِلَيْكَ. Oh Allah, I dispose or I give my affairs to You. You're saying, oh Allah, I have nothing to worry about because You're taking care of my affairs. How could you worry if Allah is taking care of you? Are you doubting that Allah would take care of you? Are you doubting that Allah would come through for you? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you put Him, When you take him as al-wakil, when you put your trust in Allah, remember that he will always come through for you. He will never disappoint you. Always think good of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And aren't you blessed that you are a believer and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you the blessing of taking him as al-wakil? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who are always thinking of Allah in good ways. One of the hadith that I want to share as I finish in the last few minutes, Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah reports that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, in the meaning of, that a person who in this life, they went through more misery and difficulties and hardships than anyone else, more than you and I combined. Their life is a life of misery. On the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will command the angels, dip this person into paradise, one dip. This is the only person we know of that's dipped into Jannah. This person is then taken out. Think of all the trauma and memories they have, the hardships that they went through in this life. They're dipped into paradise and taken out. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks, O son of Adam, have you ever experienced any difficulties or hardship before? And he says, no, ya Allah, I've never experienced anything difficult before. If one dip into Jannah will erase all of your pain, can you imagine an eternity? Because nobody will enter paradise for a dip except this person in the hadith. And then they will be re-entered into paradise according to the scholars. Can you imagine all the hardship you go through? All the difficulties, all the patience that you needed? All the times in which you went through pain and anxiety, the struggles, the staying away from temptations, the returning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala day in and day out. It'll all be worth it, not for one dip, but for an eternity in paradise. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of the inhabitants of paradise. And the last thing I want to mention, think and imagine of the moment that the people who enter Jannah will enter Jannah. They will enter and the angels will come flocking to them. Right? They will come to them from every gate and they will say, Salamun alaykum. It's mentioned throughout the Quran. Peace be upon you. Why? Salamun alaykum bima sabartum. In one ayah. Peace be upon you because of what you were patient with. In another ayah, tibutum. You've done well. Meaning your efforts, they've been done well. In another, inna hadha kana lakum jaza'an wa kana sa'yukum mashkura. Verily, this, all this reward of paradise is because of what you have done. This is your reward. And every single step you took towards Allah is appreciated. Allah appreciates it because He created you with that purpose and you are fulfilling that purpose in life. And so when you talk about the people of Jannah, it's mentioned in the end of Surah Az-Zumar that they will enter paradise and they will say, وَقَالُوا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ. Praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for fulfilling the promise that He will come through for you, that He will reward you, that He will give you a life of eternal and increasing bliss. And there is nothing greater than that. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept us into the highest levels of paradise. To summarize all of this in three simple steps. Number one, protect the rights of Allah in your life. Take care of the boundaries of Allah in your life. If you need to make tawbah, make tawbah. Daily basis. And Allah will always forgive you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of you. Number two, always be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Express your gratitude. And imagine waking up tomorrow with only the things that you thanked Allah for today. Say alhamdulillah frequently. And finally, number three, put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and keep your sight on paradise. Don't let this life distract you. This temporary resting place, don't allow it to get in the way of you and paradise. Don't allow any individual to get in between you and paradise. Any distraction, any temptation, anything of this life that will stop you from entering paradise, remove it from your path. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us for our shortcomings and to allow us to die in a good state. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us reunion in the highest levels of paradise. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to ease our affairs and to grant relief to the Muslims all around the world and to protect us from forgetting about Him in times of ease and times of difficulty. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.